Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, how's everything going?
Really good. Glad to see you heading into the fall here. And you want to kind of get back to some basics with your discussion this week, not of the faith part, but of the legacy part of the title of your show.
Absolutely.
And what are we going to find out about legacy this week, Paul?
Well, you know, legacy is very critical, and I think it's critical for us as individuals. We think about legacy, but maybe we don't have a real solid roadmap on how to do it. And I think that God is all about legacy. I think the entire word is set up to create a legacy generationally that we are supposed to be leaving that is innately in us because we're created in His image. Mm-hmm. So if it's important to God, then I believe it becomes a value of us internally. But then we struggle, like I said, with what steps do I really take and what does legacy mean? How do I implement legacy and what does it look like and feel like? So I want to talk about legacy today. It's a topic that really is near and dear to my heart because it really does blend both the estate planning component and it really does blend the biblical component. And that's really what I love to talk about.
Well, you've talked about the estate planning life cycle before. Why don't you kind of review that for us?
Yeah, the estate planning life cycle is really an 8-step journey of what every individual needs to be thinking about for estate planning. And the last part of this journey, so it's a wheel, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a circle. And the reason it's a circle is because as we hand off legacy, which is the 8th component of this cycle, then the next generation needs to re-engage and restart so that legacy can continue generationally. Mm. If it was a flat plane, then the next generation could just get off the cycle. And we don't want that. We want to build a legacy, what God has put into our heart, into us as a vision, and we want to make sure that it's perpetuated in a circle continuously through generations. So the estate planning life cycle, let me run through them really quick here, which is number one, we need to explore and educate. So in other words, we need to have good, right information about estate planning. Then when we have that information, step two is that we actually need to engage. And so here, as with most shows, I'm going to call you to action. Getting good information is just the first step, but unless you take the good information and take a step, information is useless. So number two is you have to engage and create. Then number three is that everything financially needs to be integrated into that plan. Most people create a plan, but then never have their finances blend to it. That's a huge mistake in estate planning. Number four is that we need to have a continuation commitment. In other words, estate planning is not a one and done event. It's not just get the document and feel safe. Documents need to change because life changes, the law changes, taxes change. So there needs to be a relationship with your estate planner. And that's the continuation commitment. Then number five, we need to get the family involved. And this really begins integrating legacy, is that it should be a family discussion, not just a top-down discussion. So family reception, prepare the next generation to receive the vision, to receive wealth so that it's passed on appropriately. Number six is life adjustments. There will be life adjustments. As we age, then things need to change. And does the estate plan accommodate the ability and flexibility to ensure that as your life changes, the plan can meet and accommodate those adjustments? So as we age, we anticipate that things will adjust. And then number seven is when it's your turn to see Jesus face to face. Well, that's a glorious day for you, but then we've left behind people. It could be a spouse. It could be children. It could be other family members. It could be charities. Whatever your vision looks like as far as leaving behind what you have, And by the way, this is applicable whether you have a little or a lot. Every single person needs to follow this estate planning life cycle. So there has to be a preparation for settlement. In other words, settling your estate and dispersing things. So that's number 7. And that leads us into number 8, which is legacy fulfillment. And unfortunately, a lot of people just leave money, and that's really not legacy. And so my heart, like I just said, is that I want to talk about legacy. In other words, really fulfilling what a person's vision is. And yet we have to use some estate planning tools in order to accomplish that feat. However, leaving legacy is far more than just simply leaving a checkbook behind or leaving a dollar sum behind. And so in order to have true legacy, you know, really what I believe in my heart of hearts, in order to have a biblical legacy, we need to do more. And so it goes right back to the educate and engage theory, but legacy fulfilled is very important to me. And so that's the last step of this estate planning life cycle.
Well, is there a biblical definition then for legacy?
You know, a pure definition of legacy, the word legacy is really not found in the Bible. Some translations may loosely use it, but it's not a biblical term per se. So what we have to do is we have to go through and we have to find the heart of God through the Bible in order to define what does legacy mean. So there's not a true definition of that here is legacy.
Well, it does use the term inheritance quite a bit.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so we do see the term inheritance, and that's very accurate. Mm-hmm. And so as a matter of fact, Webster's would actually define legacy as an inheritance. Mm-hmm. Webster says that a gift by will, specifically of money or personal property, a bequest, is the definition of a legacy. Or it does go exactly to your point, Mark. Other words are bequest, birthright, heritage, inheritance, right? Mm-hmm. And so those words do have a part of the definition of a biblical legacy. But legacy specifically defined is not something that I can just take you to one scripture and say, here's the definition. This is what God calls legacy. Mm. We have to look beyond that and really find a roadmap and the heart of God in scripture to pull out what God's vision of legacy and generational legacy really means to him. And there's a lot of things that do pull those portions out that to define legacy. And so, yes, does it start with the word inheritance? I agree with you. I think it does. Let's take a look at the first scripture here as my computer is trying to warm up. There it is. Now I can see it. So I think the most common scripture that people may think about is Proverbs 13:22. And it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of a sinner is laid up for the just. Mm. And so we look at this and we see that God's thinking of inheritance, God's thinking of legacy is not just passing money. It's actually a generational philosophy, because you can't get to your children's children without being generationally minded. Mm. And so, I think the heart of God is that legacy is generational. And of course, we could look at this and go, but what if I don't have children? Or what if our children are not following after the heartbeat of God? And so does that change the scope? Well, it might. And really what we find in scripture, specifically in the new covenant, under what Christ has done on the cross, is we have a relationship with him first. And so I want to encourage people that the first step in really creating a biblical legacy is, what is God telling you about your legacy? What does the Holy Spirit inside of you resonate as far as, this is the strategy and this is the plan, this is the vision of why you have given me what you have given me? And my encouragement is that it's not just to simply pass it off and be done with something. Because generational legacy is clear in this first Proverbs 13 scripture. And I don't think many of us think generationally. So again, even without children, how do you think generationally? How do you think long term with the vision that God has given you? So everything starts, number one, in building a biblical legacy with what is the vision of God that He has given you? And we need to answer that first question. And if you don't know what that is, it's okay, because that's why we have His mercies are new every morning, so that we can stand up today and go, okay, so if I don't have something that He has laid in my heart, it's never too late to seek after God and His passion for you. I don't care what your age is. You can be well into your 80s and you can still stop and you can listen to the heartbeat of God and say, Holy Spirit, help guide me. Help direct me today with what my ultimate vision and passion should be, so that I can fulfill my long-term legacy and generational legacy. And of course, if you're younger, then you have the ability to seek after Him, capture a new vision, capture that vision, and begin to build it step by step. And if you're in your 60s, you still have 20 years to fulfill, plus at least 20 years if you're healthy. You can have 20 plus years of fulfilling a new vision. Boy, I tell you what, God can do a lot in 20 years, can't He? He can do a lot with you, with giving you a passion and a vision of how to build something generationally and leave a right type of legacy. And then if you're even younger, you have more time to partner with Him. And the Lord orders the footsteps. So the heart of man devises a plan in his heart. That's what God wants to drop. God wants to drop a plan in your heart, but then the Lord orders the footsteps therein. So He will is good, He is merciful, He is just, and He will begin to give you a step-by-step direction in how to fulfill and make that legacy great, how to fulfill it, not just to hand money off. And so if there's one mentality I would love to shift in the body of Christ, is that estate planning is not about just dropping money on somebody. It is about fulfilling the calling of God in your heart. And you have to start with first knowing what that vision is, and then trust Him to guide you step by step to create a beautiful legacy. So we're talking about legacy today. And of course, you can get more information at my website, which is legacyandfaith.com. We have past podcasts. We have seminars that are coming up. As a matter of fact, the next one will be, drum roll please, because I know this, October 14th.
Okay.
At 6 p.m. So you can go to Legacy and Faith and sign up. LegacyandFaith.com and sign up for that. It's going to be in October.
So, and that's an online?
That's going to be online only. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that clarification. And would really love that. This really goes back to step number one, which is to get educated. Find out what does it mean to develop a legacy and how do we kick that off? And matter of fact, after break, I've kind of ran the table on the discussion here, but as we head into break, when we come out of it, let's talk about some of those basic steps as we talk about legacy today.
Okay, it's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. We'll return with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to remind you that coming up on October 14th at 6 p.m., we have another estate planning workshop, A Biblical Perspective. So head over to the website, legacyandfaith.com. Sign up. You need the link. There's no cost to attend. It's going to be online only. But head over to legacyandfaith.com and sign up for our October 14th, 6 p.m. workshop. I'm excited to see you there.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, focusing in on just what is legacy this week with Paul Grant. And Paul, you wanted to tell us about what is the process, what starts that process of leaving a legacy?
Yeah, and I hit some of that right at the end there, which is number one, the biggest deal is we got to start with a vision. We got to start with seeking after Him. And so the process as a believer then is we need to turn our hearts towards Him and capture the right vision, the right legacy. And by the way, this may mean that it is contrary to what is popular or what the world has set up. And so I'm not so sure that in this area we have just simply accepted what everyone else has done, which is create a simple will and put a beneficiary designation on our assets and call it a day. And then things just simply go to whoever I've named. Now, I've closed a lot of estates, and I've talked to other attorneys about closing estates. I've talked to other people. When they find out I'm an estate planner, they love to tell me their stories about closing estates. And it's really not that simple. Using a will ends up not being such a simple solution most of the time. And family dynamics can really get in the way. And a person's best interest may not, as far as the creator of the will, what they believe is best, may not be exactly what plays out. So, boy, there's always, when we talk about money, it seems like money just gets in the way of good intentions. And so we need to be more strategic as Christians. We need to be more thoughtful about this thing called estate planning and not just simply take on what the world has told us or what we see other people doing, because who's to say they have your values? Who's to say that they have your exact vision and purpose that God has given you? So I go back to the let's make sure that we have the right process as far as step one, what has God told you? And I think of Romans 12:1, which says, I encourage you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then here is the big point. Do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but by the transformation and the renewing of your mind, you can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I want to encourage you that if you take up the process of humbling yourself before God and listening to His heart, He may give you a thought that is not in alignment with what everyone else does. But that's going to be okay, because that is the transformation of us renewing our minds. We're renewing our minds to His purposes and His will and to what He has called us to. And that may look a little bit different than what your neighbors did or what your parents did for you. And so we need to abandon what everyone else has done, and we need to take on the thought process and the the helmet of salvation. I believe it covers the thought process so that we can hear the Holy Spirit clearly. So let's take on the heartbeat of God as we think about legacy. Let's take on the thought process by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, because He is good and He wants to lead you to safety. He wants to lead your family to safety. And so when He is going to give you something, it is going to be good. It's not going to be counter just for counter sake. It's not a test. It's so that we can get to safe ground. That's always God's passion. And so a part of the initial step is we got to go to safety, and we find refuge in Him and Him alone, and we take on His thought process. That is the greatest place of safety that I can think about.
Okay, well then how does this vision become implemented on a legal basis?
Yeah, so in a practical sense, there's two tools that we can use in estate planning. So once we have a vision of God, and once your heart is set up in a proper place to say, I believe I know what I want to do, and I believe that it resonates with the peace that comes and protects my mind and my heart, that's really one of the tall tale signs that we have something from God. When we have that, now we can start taking more practical steps. So there's two tools. One is that we can use a will. Now, a will is a check writing instrument, is what I call it, is that it does a couple things very well. Number one is that it leaves someone in charge of the estate. That's called a personal representative in Washington state. We also know it as an executor, or an executor, as executrix. I can't even say the word properly. So let's just call it an executor. So a personal representative. So it does that. Number two, it tells us who that person is to leave the money to. So number one, the personal representative would have a legal duty to pay creditors, because by law, they need to be satisfied. So you can't avoid your creditors by dying and then leave all your money to somebody else. So we have to pay somebody's debts. Maybe it could be a last hospital stay. It could be credit cards. If we sell a home, we still got to pay the mortgage if there's one. So we understand as good citizens, we got to pay our debts. And so the personal representative would have a legal obligation to treat not just the beneficiaries fairly and with equality, but also any creditors of the estate. And so that person is named. And then number two, it tells us who, when all the debts are wrapped up, who gets what? But at this point, unless we use what's called a testamentary trust, that's sticking a trust inside of a will, don't do it. But that's all I'll say for this show. But it then tells us who gets what is left over. So that ends up being a check. There's other ways that we leave money to people. That's a beneficiary designation. So if you have a bank account, an investment account, an IRA, a 401k, typically what you've done is you've left a beneficiary designation on those different assets. Now, that is going to be a probate runaround method, and it does the same thing. So number one, it runs around probate, a beneficiary designation, and a beneficiary designation runs around a will or a trust. And so
it doesn't have to go into probate.
It doesn't have to go into probate. And the reason why is because when you sign the user agreement with a bank or with an investment firm or wherever your money is located, you've signed a contract with them. So when you pass away, that institution has a legal mandate by contract to do exactly what you've said to do, which is, when I die, leave my money to so-and-so. So they will simply cut a check to somebody, which, by the way, a will in its simplicity, that's what it's doing as well. So blending your beneficiary designations with the beneficiaries of your institutions or life insurance policy. So they're out there. A lot of times we forget that we have small policies, and through work, and sometimes residual benefits through work. We need to consistently make sure that our beneficiaries are lining up with any type of estate plan. A huge gap in what I typically see. It really is amazing that we would have beneficiaries lined up in one sense, but then the will says something totally different. Uh-oh. Or it leaves things just to a spouse and we never accommodate for the kids. And so then the beneficiary designation, if it doesn't go to a spouse and you've died or you've lost your spouse years ago, you've been through a divorce and you forgot to change a spouse, legally that would be cut off. But then we don't have the kids there. So then it goes to probate.
Does the beneficiary just sometimes just say spouse? And not even specific, like whoever the current spouse
was? It can. Yeah, it can, which would be a problem as well because we have a lot of blended families in America today. And so that may not be exactly what you thought was happening to that asset. So your intention is, well, the life insurance is for the kids, but then my retirement plan is for my current spouse. But then things aren't aligned. So a will in its simplicity is a check writing instrument, and it gets money to the right people. So that's number two. But number three is that it could name guardianship. So if you have minor children, a will is incredibly important because we need to name guardians. We need to name who takes over should the unthinkable happen. So that's a will. Now, a trust, and we'll get more into this because we're going to continue this legacy discussion in next week. So come back catch this on my website, legacyandfaith.com. We'll have these podcasts loaded up. But a trust is a holding container, and we can include more description, more discussions of exactly what does it mean to pass a legacy on. So instead of just writing a check, because that's what I think society tells us to do, legacy can really begin to be formed more in a trust than in a will, because a will just writes a check, just like a beneficiary designation. Your hands are off of it and we're done. But we'll take up more of the discussion with legacy next week, and we'll talk more about what are the benefits of a trust and how can a trust really fulfill legacy.
What is legacy? That is the subject of this program and next program. Hopefully we'll get through all of it next program. We will see.
Yes.
Paul Grant likes to talk about this subject, and actually you have a seminar coming up too, an online seminar coming up in October.
Yes, we do. It's coming up soon, and you can sign up at legacyandfaith.com. The date there is October 14th at 6 p.m. It's going to be online only. We're not ready to get people into the same room safely, so we're going to honor what's going on. So October 14th at 6 p.m., online only. You need to register to get the link, so go to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.